Stop pouting. We're rolling now. And this time the mics are on.
I gotta do the thing in the beginning.
Babe, we're recording.
Oh. This episode of Bad for Business is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Is there anything worse than buying razors? Fighting traffic to the store. You're dealing with that locked plastic razor fortress. And after doing all that, you're basically going to spend like $25. Well, be done with those hassles forever and join DollarShaveClub.com. For a few bucks a month, Dollar Shave Club delivers great razors and shave supplies right to your door. You don't even have to leave the house. I'm all about not leaving the house. So stop trudging to the store and buying those overpriced razors and join DollarShaveClub.com/B4B. That's DollarShaveClub.com/B4B. Plans start at $3 a month, and signing up takes 2 minutes. So support this podcast again by going to DollarShaveClub.com/B4B. Give it a try. There's nothing to lose, and plus they have a money-back guarantee. All right, let's get this show started. Roll the credits.
Woo!
Bad for Business. When's Bad for Business coming out?
You think that's a good title?
The greatest I've ever seen in my whole brain. No, I mean my whole life. Bad for Business.
Hold on, wait, did I hear you right? Did you say Jerry Ferrara as a podcast host? That's really funny. What the hell is he going to talk about?
I think that a lot of people have their stick. You know, they get on air or they get on TV or whatever they do. And, you know, there's something that they default to, like a way of performing. You know what I mean? He's like a genuine listener and a genuine present participant, which is difficult to do.
I think you're good at what you do. You can speak very easily to people and speak on a lot of subjects. Why not you, Jerry? Remember who told you that? Why not you?
Podcast? He's got a podcast? Okay. And what's it called? Bad for Business? He's calling it Bad for Business? So he knows he's going to flop. Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, Jerry Ferrar, it's your good pal, Rich Eisen, wanting to wish you the best of luck with your new podcast, Bad for Business. I'm sure you are going to be great at it. You'll be a natural. Can't wait to hear all the fun stuff you're going to do on this podcast that's going to kill it. All right, buddy. All right. Did you get that? His show's going to blow.
It's good for Bad for Business. It's good for me.
Oh, you're just going to point now. You're just going to point to me that we're rolling.
I'm going to point.
For the record, Bad for Business listeners, when we just started the show with our ad from our new sponsor, you know, Brie likes to do these cute little, like, 3, 2, 1, roll, like, just weird things. And she did it. I ignored it because it kind of threw me off. And then now she wants to start the show,
no,
where she
you
could
ignored
do.
Ignored it because the first time I did it, the mics weren't on.
Well, I was
and
building.
You got upset.
I was building to that.
And you hate when we have to start and stop again.
I'm not much for starting and stopping. Bad enough that I'm just trying to figure out how to do this, the reads and all that, like to start it. And I actually liked the beginning of that, and then you stopped me.
I had to stop you because we weren't recording. The mics were
because
on.
Why?
Because the mics were not.
The mics were muted.
Because I forgot to unmute the mics. I'm sorry.
You know what? It's not Throwback Thursday yet. Or maybe we're going to air this on the Thursday. Let's reflect back to the pilot when we really used to have such problems like
this.
When we would record episodes for 15 minutes and the mics were muted. Or we'd tape a phone call, but the phone call situation wasn't working. Are we going back to those days?
No, but every once in a while, you know.
Well, here's
the pilot episode. Oh my gosh. I mean, we started and we stopped and we started and we stopped. I thought
20
three
times.
Months of preparation was going to go down the drain. You were very frustrated.
Well, the reason why I bring up the pilot is it is kind of a throwback for us here at Bad for Business because we don't have a guest this week. And in the pilot, I was really hell-bent on not having a guest, although we did call my mom just for a couple of minutes to make her a part of the show, and I wanted to establish that. But we don't have a guest. You know, we've had some great guests the last couple of weeks. We had Jerry O'Connell. We did a great interview with my nephew and my brother. Last week, we had Terrence Jenkins. We got some great feedback from the Terrence episode. And thank you, everybody, for sending that to us. This week, we've actually lived life a little bit this week. We've done some fun stuff that I want to talk about on the show. There's some topics I want to get to. I want to involve our audience at Twitter. And again, follow us at B4B Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And, oh, I got an announcement to make. Should I make an announcement?
Go for it.
I might have mentioned this before, but I think some of you got confused by our fantasy football podcast. We were all running it through one feed, the Bad for Business feed. So you'd get the normal Bad for Business show, like for instance, the Terrence episode. You'd also get our fantasy podcast. That might have confused some of you. So Bree spent months, weeks, hours, whatever, figuring out how to do this stuff that I can only, it would take me a year to figure out. And we now have a separate channel for all things sports. Now, on this Bad for Business podcast, we will touch upon sports from time to time. But when we're going to get into it, my sports nerd fans out there, we started the channel. It's called Bad for Sports. And you can get the fantasy podcast there. I'll take all your sports questions and we'll just rap about sports. So that'll keep it separate for all of you who are kind of bugging out. And Bree, thank you for getting that done.
Mm-hmm.
On a quick sports note, on the fantasy podcast, you know, sometimes you really think something's impossible, so it gives you this power of trash talking. I never thought the fantasy podcast would see a two-time winner.
I cannot believe it.
And I thought maybe if you did, it might take the whole season. I didn't think we'd see it in 10 weeks, but we had it happen. Oh, it happened.
And it was a big league last week.
Big league. The league was filled to capacity. And Mr. Dylan John, who goes by, I think, Laughlin22 on FanDuel and on Twitter, won it a second time. So we're going to tape that podcast. And I never thought it would happen. So I was throwing out a prize of you get to co-host the show. Now we got to figure out how to get this guy on the phone. And hopefully our Skype situation will hold up for an entire episode.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to work?
Well, we can always call him back if it drops.
Yeah, well, plan on some of that. Speaking of the phone, again, Bree is putting a lot of time to figure out how to exactly get the phone situation good in the studio, and it finally works.
We now have a studio number.
We now have a studio
which
line.
We will not give out yet, but we will.
Not yet, because we don't want the prank calls. Just, did you say prank call or crank call?
Prank.
Prank call, right? I know some people say crank call.
Crank call.
If you can hear the rocks, we're also throwing it by this noise is me. I'm having a vodka soda. It was a long day. It's just us on the podcast.
We had two sips and I was worried about them.
Yeah, and we don't have to worry about a guest that I have to like entertain and ask interesting questions to. So we're going to have a drink. Yeah, we're going to do a phone-in episode. So we're going to give out the number probably next week, maybe this week. And we'll kind of coordinate times with you. Also, visit our website, b4bent.com. There's a contact form there where you could email Bree or me. Tell us what you kind of want to talk about. We're going to give you the
topics,
number.
Any topics, suggestion ideas, anything.
But we want to, I like involving you guys.
Yeah.
I want you, I
we'll
like
call
doing,
you. You got a good idea, we'll give you a call.
I like doing the fantasy episodes because I like talking to some of the audience. So we're going to give you guys a chance to call in. We're going to probably get Doug Ellen in, I think, next week. So maybe we'll even take some calls with him. And then also, I put out on Twitter for some of you to ask us some questions. We've gotten some great Twitter questions so far that we'll hopefully get to at the end of the show. Last week in the Terrence episode, Halloween came up. Now, it's been, I guess, what, 2 weeks since Halloween? I don't really know because Halloween lasts a week. Was this the first year, Bree, that you didn't really dress up and go to a party? And do you hate me for that?
It is the first year I didn't dress up and go to a party.
What are you
going to
do with
the
all
the Scrooge of Halloween?
What are you going to do with all those slutty outfits?
What do you mean?
I mean, isn't it like the one time they say girls could get dressed however they want and not feel bad about it?
My couple ideas for us were not very slutty this year.
Well,
even though we didn't dress like them.
Some of our ideas were we were going to do straight up Kevin Arnold, Winnie Cooper.
From the Wonder Years.
From
I
the Wonder Years,
one.
Which we should do. I am a fan of Zach and Kelly from Saved by the Bell, which I think you could have some fun with. My go-to is always Rudy because I'm short. Put on a Notre Dame jacket and part your hair and bring a Holy Bible. Great costume
what
for guys.
What have you dressed as in the past?
Okay, that's part of my problem. And we were talking about it a little bit with Terrence. And I always had costume issues. Even as a kid, I didn't love costume parties because people put so much judgment on your costumes. Costumes are supposed to like free you inside where you're like dressed up as someone else. I've always had a lot of costume anxiety. In LA, in Tinseltown, in Hollywood, where You could get movie quality, costume, makeup, hair, all that good stuff. Halloween is a big deal. So in the past, I've gone as Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners. Do you know who Ralph Cramden is?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who is he?
I don't know.
Don't lie on the podcast because I'll call you out. That's my problem.
Because you knew I didn't know. So
I'll go to one of these fancy Hollywood parties and I'll bump into like a cute girl like you. And then we'll start talking. And sure enough, you're going to go, who's your costume? I'm going to say, oh, Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners. You're going to roll your eyes and go, who's that? It's The Honeymooners. Do you not know The Honeymooners? Jackie Gleason. No, it's before my time. It's like one of the first iconic sitcoms.
Well, maybe
it's
you
black
should
and
stick
white.
With something a little more current, Jerry.
Current? What? So should I go with Justin Bieber?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I went as Peter Pan a couple of years ago. That
you
was
wore
fine.
Tights?
Yeah. Yes, I wore green tights. I think I went as like hipster
Peter
Pan.
No wonder you don't like Halloween. You went as Peter Pan one year.
Rudy was my go-to. One year I went as Donnie Brasco. See, like these are all the things that I appreciate, but I don't know. No one else seemed to. I just I really think that adults have gotten too carried away with it. I think that Halloween's about the children. I think adults should stay home and give out candy. My rules are, look, you could absolutely throw a Halloween party. One, you throw a Halloween party at your house, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You could absolutely go to a Halloween party. Again, nothing wrong with that either. But I think when you go to like more than two or three Halloween parties, I think you're robbing the holiday from the kids.
Oh, Scrooge.
Am I being too much
of
a Scrooge?
Are you going to be like this around Christmas? You only want one or two or three presents? Is that how this is going to work? Because you don't want to celebrate?
Christmas is different.
Okay.
Christmas is different. No, I think I just need to get a good go-to costume and then I'll be on. But I mean, man, it is such a big deal out here. And now Thanksgiving's coming up and like, I just feel like, see, like how come we don't have three Thanksgiving parties? Is it just not that fun?
I think one's enough. Do you not remember last year?
No, but I'm just saying, look, I like to eat. I like to put on like a nice sweater
last year
and go to a Thanksgiving party. Why not have like 3 days of Thanksgiving? Because everyone in LA is worried that they'll be fat. Yeah. Halloween parties is like vodka soda and maybe a Kit Kat. Thanksgiving, people are like, I don't want
mashed potatoes. We all know how you feel about Halloween. Noted.
Oh, am I just being too, is it too much now?
Yeah.
Need to move on?
Yep.
Oh, you're a
pain. As your producer, I'm saying wrap it up.
All right, wrap it up. We didn't get a chance to talk about our Ohio trip. Do you want to set it up, being that you're from Ohio? It's your home state?
Yeah, I'll set it up. So we went back to Ohio, and it just happened to be the same week that LeBron had his home opener. And we also went to a Browns game. They played the Raiders, which...
Yes, we were going... you had a wedding there.
I had a wedding.
An old friend. Beautiful, beautiful wedding. So I was accompanying you. And then I figured, well, you know what? Since we're going there, I'm going to take advantage of some sports stuff. So I called our old podcast buddy, Jay Glazer, who was on one of the earlier podcast episodes. And if you guys listen to that episode, if you haven't, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. He tells some great stories about when he got the Spygate tape and all that. Great,
wow,
episode.
Such a great episode.
If you're new to the show, go back and listen to that. But Jay Glazer, Fox NFL insider, he's a very, very powerful, connected guy. He put me in touch with Coach Mike Pettine of the Cleveland Browns. I told him we were going to be in Ohio. I'd like to go to a game. Next thing you know, we are on the field.
Well, can we talk about what happened before we went on the field? I think you're forgetting something. Our ride and the tailgating.
Okay, so Bree grew up in Ohio. So a lot of the girls she grew up with, who are some of her best friends, Sarah, I could call them out, right?
Yeah, call them out.
Sarah, Carla, Chelsea, their husbands, boyfriends, they are obviously tremendous Browns
fans. Very loyal Browns fans.
So they have, I guess they bought like what, an old school bus, is it? Or just a bus?
An old bus.
An old bus that they then...
Which is very common. A lot of people do this.
Yeah, they fixed it up and then they had it wrapped in Browns wrapping.
Decor.
Decor. I mean, the whole thing is Browns'd out. So... The game was, it was a 4 o'clock game, and
we had a wedding the night before.
We had the wedding the night before, so there was some drinking. 4 o'clock game, I asked Bree, let's play out the conversation. Ready? So what time? We'll probably, what? The wedding will be done by what, like 12, 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Right. And then, all right, so we got the games, 4 o'clock. All right, so what time are we leaving for the game? We're going to go tailgating. What time are we
probably
leaving?
Probably be on the bus on the road by 9:30.
No. It's the game's at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 9:30 is actually kind of a late start.
But the game's at 4. I don't understand. We're going to tailgate for 8 hours?
Yeah.
So that's how it's done in Ohio. Yeah, that's exactly what that conversation was like. 4 o'clock, I'm sorry, 4:25 start. We left for tailgating in the bus.
And he argued with me for 3 days before that about the time, the departure time.
I mean, is
time.
It unreasonable to say, like, why don't we leave at 11? Get there at 12. We got 12, 1, 2, 3, 30, 3.5 hours of drinking and tailgating.
We were one of, like, the first people there.
Well, so we're on the bus at 9:30. The bus works. It definitely gets you from point A to point B. The driver of the bus on the way there, nice guy, kind of looked at his phone a lot while he was driving.
Jerry was a little nervous. He almost got lost. He was looking at directions on his phone.
Almost missed the
exit.
And it
was making some of us nervous.
20 people in the bus, aka a death trap.
My dad came with us, which was fun.
And your dad drives a bus.
And my dad drives a bus.
He could have easily.
He was the only one certified to actually drive that thing.
Well, there's 40 boxes of pizza in the back. There's canisters of Bloody Marys all over. There's beer. There's all this stuff. We get to the parking lot. Now, I've done some tailgating in my day. I've gone to Giant Games. Now, I don't think the Giant Games have the greatest tailgating. I think just because their parking lot situation is a little odd, we'll say. The Browns have, like, apparently it's like this whole culture and society where there's something called the Pit, which is a big parking lot, as you might imagine, which is like the backdrop is kind of cool. There's a train that, like, runs through the parking lot, like a freight train, which is really cool. Obviously, you're right by the lake. The weather was not that bad. It was a little chilly, but not that bad. So the Muni lot apparently is a little more calm,
that's
sedate.
Where it's at.
I'm sorry. Let me finish. The Pit. We're not getting to the Muni lot yet. Oh, the first lot's called the Pit. I screwed up. And obviously people are out there barbecuing. There's a little music, throwing footballs around. Great stuff. Then there's the Muni lot, which I guess was explained to me as like the frat version of the Pit. So we're partying in this pit. I'm having some hot spiked cider, which Alex made, which is great. I'm eating some pizza at 10 o'clock in the morning. Everything's great. I'm wearing a Browns hat. We'll get into that.
I'm bonging a beer.
In a minute. Bree's doing
Jerry
beer bongs.
Very proud of me.
Beer bongs. I've never been more proud of you. Then we walk over to this lot that's called the Muni, which is where it all goes down. So it's 10 times bigger than the Pit, and it's a little more dicey. I mean, definitely younger, definitely drunker. Every five steps, there's a different DJ. Like, there's DJs set up and different music. So, like, at 1 minute, you're walking through and there's Lil Wayne playing. Then five steps later, there's country music.
And any type of vehicle that's in there is decorated or it's represented.
It's all RVs and motorhomes and everything's browned out. You know, they were playing the Raiders, so the vibe was upbeat. I think they kind of knew they were going to win. And it was just all in all. And then the lot just doesn't end. All in all, just a cool experience. So from there, the Browns organization and Coach Mike Pettine got us some field passes to where you and your sister and your dad, was that your first time, I'm guessing, yeah?
That was my first time on the field.
What'd you think?
It was kind of insane. And we got to watch everybody warm up in front of us.
How
like
many pictures? How many selfie slash pictures?
I had a selfie moment. I took a lot of selfies.
Here's my issue. With
I
that.
Took a lot of pictures.
I took a lot
of selfies with my sister.
And I get it. You should.
I took a lot of pictures with you.
You should. Now, I am now officially torn on this topic because on the one hand, you should absolutely take pictures of that moment. It's a great moment. It's not something you get to do every day. You may not get to do that again. That could be a once in a lifetime. So you should.
But I did put my phone down and take it all in.
But
too.
I just think that. And I'm not judging you or your sister. I love the both of you. I just think that it was a little too long, meaning like there was great stuff happening and you were looking at it through the lens of an iPhone. I don't know why. We keep getting a beep. I think it's coming from my computer. I don't know. But here's the counter argument to that. when you actually then go back 6 months, a year, 2 years later and look at the photos, it is pretty great that you have 200 photos from that moment. So I'm a little split down the middle.
200? Oh, come on. You're exaggerating.
Between you and your sister, you easily took 200 photos.
Well, I was excited and I got some cool photos.
I get it. I just don't want you to actually miss it live.
I didn't.
While
I didn't
it's
miss
great
it
to
all.
Replay
we
it.
We were
via...
there for hours.
Don't brag. well, then it was time to go to our seats. So the woman helping us takes us around this loop of the field. And we ended up like running into the marching band from Ohio State, which threw us off. And then just as we're about, I don't know what that noise is. That might be coming from my computer. Just as we were about to.
We didn't make it all the way around the field. We didn't make it all the way around for the game. And as
we were getting into our seats, the Raiders came coming out of the tunnel.
We're walking right in front of the tunnel as they start coming out.
So,
we almost
yeah.
got trampled by the Raiders.
Then we ran past that, and then the Browns came out of their tunnel. I put some video on Instagram, and it was pretty cool.
Nobody's supposed to be like on the field.
No, people were yelling at security.
We got
stuck was like
on the
looking.
Field,
yeah,
right next to the Browns tunnel as they're running out. It was kind of awesome.
Anyway, the Browns ended up. It was a little bit of a sloppy game, but the Browns ended up winning.
They pulled through.
Here's another thing to all you.
Should we tell the story?
What story?
About what happened at the end of the game.
At the end? No.
I don't have to say all any right. names.
Let's just say.
I'm not going to say any names.
Let's just say after the game.
This is a good story.
No, we're not telling the story in detail. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I'm just going to sum it up like this. Let's just say after the game, there is an area where like friends and family of the team wait to like say hello to the guys after the game. We were in that area kind of by mistake. We were supposed to be heading somewhere else, but we just kind of stopped there. And there was like a line.
We were allowed to be in that
area.
And
let's just say one of the players' moms was a little unhappy that we had like a prime piece of real estate in that area and got a little.
We were lined up waiting for the players to come out, and she came and she like literally like. Pushed me, stepped on my foot, and stood
there
right
was where all
of
we're
us.
Gonna look. We're not gonna get into
and she
it.
She was kind of rude. She didn't say
you're getting into. When I say
sorry.
We're not getting into it, this is you getting into
but
it.
But this is stuff you hash out on a podcast.
No, this is not because we want to go back. We want to go back to the Browns game, don't we?
We do.
It's just to say there was words exchanged. She was a little rude for not a great reason.
And her son,
I totally support you, and I had your back.
But what I don't
you
like is
right.
she's representing her son. She's representing the team. And she's wearing a jersey with her son's name on it. I just thought, you know, you should have a little bit of a better attitude.
It was Bernie Kosar's mom. Just kidding.
Okay.
Well, there was
Jerry doesn't yeah. like that we just, I just brought that story.
No, I don't mind it. I just, like, look, it definitely wasn't great, but whatever. It happened. Who knows? It was a misunderstanding, and it didn't go too far. But something else that happened, and I want to straighten something out. I went to the game. They treated me like a king. So I thank the Browns organization. I thank Coach Pettine. Get one thing straight, people on Twitter who were a little chippy with me as I was posting some photos. I only took about 20 photos to your 200. I was wearing a Browns hat. And you know what? I was poorly dressed for the outing. So I needed a hoodie. And guess what? When you're at a football game, the hoodies are usually representative of the team
by
that
the way,
you're there
you're lying.
For.
You bought the hoodie before the game to wear.
Because I didn't have proper clothes. So I was in a Browns hoodie and a Browns hat. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. How are you rocking Brown stuff when you're not a Browns fan? All right, here's my stance and my take on this. I get it. It could be viewed as traitorous, okay? My points are, I am a Giant fan. The Giants and the Browns have zero tradition, rivalry, or history. I think they might have had something in the 60s, far, far before my time, before anyone I know's time. So it doesn't really hold up. They've changed franchises since then. They've moved and come back. So I thought it was okay. They were playing the Raiders. Also, no threat to my New York Giants. Different conference, different division. So I was in their house. I wear the Browns hat. If they were playing the Giants, rest assured, I would wear a Giants hat. If they were playing the Cowboys, I would have absolutely been rooting for the Browns. So I get what you guys are saying. Aren't you a Giants fan? You're such a I'm not trading in my Giants love. No one loves the Giants more than me. I love them. I watch every minute of every game. I worship them. They've given me 2 Super Bowls. They've done more for me than any other sports franchise with the exception of the Yankees. So I'm not trading in the Giants for the Browns. Let's just say my favorite AFC team is the Browns, and I will root for the Browns when they're playing almost anyone. And that's it. Done. It's over. Don't give me any shit for that. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I'm in their house. I think it was being respectful of being in someone's home.
And I have done my job, people.
I got a lot of heat on Twitter. Like, oh, you traitor. I thought you were a Giants fan. How are you wearing the... And then even like some of my friends are like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's the Browns, guys. It's the Browns. What do you mean you've done your job?
Done my job. You are now a fan of my team. A big fan.
Look, I've always been not a fan. I've always rooted for the Browns because, A, I just enjoy Cleveland fans. I think Cleveland fans are just, they love hard. Like, even like some of your friends, like their husbands, like they just, I would love nothing more than to see something good happen to that team for those fans. I'm a fan of their fans. Secondly, you know, Kevin Christie, who we've had on this podcast, has like a Browns tattoo. Mm-hmm. So when he would come over and watch football, I'd always put the Browns on for him. So I started kind of peeping on the team a little bit. They're not that bad. I did also get the chance, again, Coach Pettin, shout out, my new favorite coach. Mm-hmm. Clearly my loyalty can be bought. No, he had us come to practice where I brought a couple of your friends. And man, it is just crazy to go to a practice. And why? Like, you don't really understand the responsibilities of a football coach till you go and see something like that. Because much like, I guess, like a movie, like the director, you're responsible for every department. Like, you have to talk. You're in charge of the sound department, the props department. All those people, when they have a question, look at you. Similar to football, every department, when they have a question, they look at that coach. I got to meet Johnny Manziel finally. I do believe Johnny Manziel is an Entourage fan. He came out, total respectful, nice dude. And it was all business. You go in there, those guys are out, it's raining, it's cold, they're out there practicing, the vibe seemed fun, they're playing music. It just, they seem like they are enjoying playing the game for each other. So I don't know. I think the Browns might sneak into the playoffs this year.
Oh. Kind of bummed I didn't get to go to that practice.
Well, that's going to kind of sum up. Well, there's no, you can't because like you're in the locker room. There's a bunch of swinging things in there.
And you took some of my girlfriend's husbands, which is
dudes are really allowed.
So.
Well, they seem to enjoy it. Shout out to Aaron and Alex back there in Ohio. That was a good time. Alex was nice enough to take me to, we were eating some great food and I wasn't really keeping up with the gym stuff. So Alex took me to a pickup basketball game. Now we had just gone with your family to like Fridays or something to have like a beer and like watch some game before
my
I was going to go.
Loves Fridays.
I was going to go play some hoops. So I had a beer, I had some wings, and I'm like, all right, I'll go run it off at like 7:30. I had 2 hours. So we go play, beautiful court, great group of guys, and we make the teams, and then I see a bunch of dudes taking their shirts off. I'm like, oh fuck. They do shirts, skins. I haven't done shirts, skins since like freshman year of high school. Now, mind you, I'm pretty in shape, but I'm not the most in shape, dude. I have some shirtless insecurity from being 200 pounds, and I had a bunch of wings and beer in my stomach, and I was wearing like these sport kind of tight, not me on these. They were like Under Armour underwear that was really tight, so it just made like a seam. So I just had like this weird belt. It just was awful. I'm going to say I sort of threw the game so then I could get on the shirts team.
You
can't do you when you're not a teenager anymore. I think after 21, like once you're kind of going into college, I feel like you could stop with the shirts and skins. It's just disgusting. You know what? If I turn the ball over because you're wearing a red shirt and I thought you were the guy on my team who was wearing a red shirt, that's on me. I'd rather turn the ball over than like have some guy with back shoulder hair like the dude in Along Came Polly sweating all over me. That was traumatic. And then, of course, we were in the greater Cleveland area for the Cavs home opener, really? LeBron's home opener. They were playing my Knicks. This is where, see, the loyalty, people. Now, I was not wearing a Cavs hat. We didn't go to the game. Tickets were a little crazy, and I actually wanted to watch it on TV. I enjoy games on TV. So
yeah, we went. All my friends.
Took your friends, family, went to a great sports bar. I was not wearing any Cavs gear, and then like a true Knicks fan, I was enjoying the game, and then the minute it started going, I was cheering and clapping for the Knicks. I know what I'm doing, people.
The only one
in a bar in Cleveland. So I know what I'm doing, people. I'm a loyal fan. If my loyalty ever gets questioned again on Twitter, I will block you, a.k.a. I will Mutombo you. You will be blocked. Man, we're rolling on this podcast now. It's getting hot. I'm going to take a pause for a second and take a sip of my drink. Okay, what else? So we talked about Ohio. Is there anything else we need to add to that trip?
No, we can end on that.
And we're moving to Ohio, right?
Yay.
All right.
We can bring the studio to Ohio.
What else? We're going to have to read an ad soon, I think, right?
Yeah.
Almost there. All right, we're going to read an ad in a minute. What else do I want to talk? Okay.
Your hair is growing out.
My hair is growing out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to save that. That'll be our segue into the ad because it does correlate. And then I want everyone to know also we have a new sponsor. It's Dollar Shave Club. And I tried the products. That's just what I do. I've said that from the beginning back when it was Me Undies and Nature Box. And now there's Dollar Shave Club. You want to just do it now? Should we just bang it out now?
Do it.
Okay. All right. First and foremost, should we read the ad or should I tell the story of how I tried this stuff? What do you think? How should we do it?
Tell the story first.
All right. Well, I had this, I guess you'd call it an audition. I don't really know if it was an audition.
You were being considered for a role.
I was up for a role, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it does happen from time to time. The kid's not quite retired just yet. And it was a little different than anything I've played, but I liked it enough. Obviously, I didn't get it or else the story would be a little different, but I also wanted to take the initiative. I think some of the people involved, I'm not going to name any specific names, maybe I will down the road. They wanted me to look as different as I possibly could from anything Entourage related, which that does come up. People get to know you as a certain role and they want to see you do other things. And perception a lot of times is reality. So taking the initiative on Entourage, I always had the beard and I always had the kind of frizzy hair. And obviously I was a little bit heavier. I've lost some weight. So I went out and I shaved my head. Oop. It's going real in the streets here. I went out and I shaved my head. I went right to the barber. Shout out to my boy John Castellanos over at Baxter Finley. We took it down to like a 3 on top with a 2 on the side. It looked good. I have a small head. I kind of look like Charlie Brown. But anyway, then phase 2. Now, I don't enjoy shaving. Never have. I don't know if I ever truly will. But that being said, it's just something that you got to do. So I think I look young when I shave, meaning like it doesn't look like me. Like I've had this beard for as long as I can remember. I've had to shave it a couple of times for a few things, but I'm more just like a buzzer with a clip guy and just trim. So I went to the supermarket and I'm like, I don't want a straight edge razor. I haven't bought one in years. And of course, everything that this ad in Dollar Shave Club that they have, all this copy, it is true. This is the first time like I've read the copy where I'm like, oh, wow, a lot of this stuff happens. Going to the supermarket, okay? And then being like, all right, where are the razors? Oh, they're locked behind this plexiglass thing. You have to like ring this buzzer.
It didn't always used to be like that. Why do they do that now?
And I guess people just lift razors and batteries. I worked in the pharmacy when I was a kid, and my boss was always like, razors and batteries. When someone's looking at razors or batteries, keep your eyes on them.
Oh, my God.
And condoms, believe it or not. A lot of people, that's why condoms are always in the back. People who try to rob condoms, I think you're starting off the sexual experience in the wrong way if you rob the condoms. But anyway, sorry, I'm all over the place. But so I went in the supermarket. You have to like press this button to get an attendant over who unlocks the thing. Then there's 90 different kinds of razors, all starting at like $15 and up. Not that I'm cheap, but that's just a little heavy. It's just a pain. Honestly, it's a pain in the ass. Everything that they're saying is true, but I did it. I came home. I shaved. I hated it. But now I'm kind of keeping it going. I'm going to keep it going a little while. So I signed up to this Dollar Shave Club. And it's awesome. They just show up. You don't have to leave the house. I'm a fan of not having to leave the house. So we're going to read the ad right now. I am a member of, by the way, I will not put on any products on this podcast that I have not at least tried. And if I tried it and I truly hated it, I won't accept any advertising. Here we go. I am a member. All right. So is there anything worse than buying razors? Okay. First of all, you got to remember that you need them in the first place. Then you got to sit in traffic to the store, which did happen to me because it's LA. There's a ton of traffic. Then you got to go find that locked plastic fortress that they keep him in. Usually you have to buzz to get the one guy with the key, and he's kind of back there texting his girlfriend and doing all that. And then when you finally get the razors and you get up there, they hit you with a bill that's usually like something like dinner. It's like $50 for two razors. We'll never do any of this again. If you join dollarshaveclub.com for a few bucks a month, dollarshaveclub.com delivers great razors right to your door. You don't have to leave the house. DollarShaveClub.com is just smarter than going to the store. Their plans start at $3 a month. Signing up literally takes 2 minutes, and then you just sit back and the blades come like clockwork. You can shave with a fresh blade every day. I hate shaving, but knowing that I have a good blade, it just makes it easier. There's no membership fee. There's no commitment. They have a money-back guarantee. There's nothing to lose when you're trying them out. So no more traffic to the store and no more having to ring a doorbell to get your razors. Join dollarshaveclub.com/B4B and you support this podcast also in that process. dollarshaveclub.com/B4B. How did I do, Bree?
You did all right.
Are you texting right now?
No, I was looking at some of our questions from
Twitter. Good questions? Should we open it up yet or should I keep going? I told the shaving bit. I have a shaved head.
We have some good questions.
All right. We'll get to that. All right. Well, let's touch on a couple other things first, and then we'll get to that. All right. Last night, we went and we saw Interstellar. Now, I am not going to ruin it for everybody. It's a fantastic movie. What'd you think of Interstellar, Brie?
You know, I was saying this to you last night. Of course, if I want to critique it and I want to, like, get down and nitpicky with it, I can.
Yeah, you could break anything down, basically.
You could break anything down, but I just applaud anybody that worked on that movie, because the process from even creating it to writing it, so to writing something like that, and then just making it, like, it's pretty spectacular that we can do that.
I think the word is, and I've never really had the chance to use this word in a sentence where I've actually meant it, the word is scope. The scope of that movie is just, it's mind-bending. Like, I always watch a movie when thinking, like, all right, what do I think the writer was thinking when he wrote this? And Christopher Nolan and I think his brother are the two screenwriters. I don't even know how you begin to write a movie that's that scientific and knowledgeable about space.
A lot of research.
A lot of research. I mean, it must have taken 5 years to write something like that. The story's great. The scientific facts are great. Now, look, there's a lot of people who, and I won't ruin it, there'll be no spoilers right now, but I know a lot of people are breaking some of it down and calling bullshit, and a lot of people are saying, oh, but so much of it is true.
But it is still a movie.
Look, the stuff that people are calling,
if you're going to make a movie about outer space, like, you have to have a little bit of an open mind.
All I'll say is, the stuff that people are calling bullshit on is the stuff that's unknown.
Yeah.
So
they're
calling bullshit on theories, which a lot of this stuff, because it's deep space, is all theories. But all I know is I really, really recommend it. I mean, 2 hours and 50 minutes is a little long.
The effects are really cool.
For me, in a movie, it's shot beautifully. The effects are cool. The acting is tremendous. You will learn from it. It will definitely capture a certain part of your fascination that you may not even know you had. I never had a solid interest in space, even if you remember, like, the camping podcast we did.
Biker bitch.
Slanging them rocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you go back to the camping podcast, we're talking about the Milky Way and the stars, and I kind of was like, yeah, yeah, that's great. It's awesome. Wasn't all that interested. I came home after Interstellar last night.
Oh, my gosh.
For an hour in bed.
For hours.
Googling wormholes, planets, then
wormholes do not exist yet. They mathematically exist yet, but they don't know how to create them.
And then you, nerd college graduate girl, went into our little bookshelf area.
Well,
and
I was
like,
I know I have a books on galaxies.
You
and
took
stars.
An astronomy class?
Yeah, I took a lot of astronomy
she
classes.
Pulls out a college textbook on astronomy that I am at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting with my little flashlight reading an astronomy book that college kids have.
But then you fall asleep And I am still, I dreamed about my space. Mind is still I dreamt going. About space. You did? Probably because this is what happened. You went to sleep. I put the Science Channel on and I recorded all these. Oh, gosh.
I want to go. I want to go to Jupiter. I want to go to Mars. It is just
Jerry, you can't even make a flight across the U.S.
I do have a hard time going from L.A. to New York. This is true. But I don't know. I'm still, all I'll say too is, and again, maybe this is a tiny bit of a spoiler, I'm just very fascinated on how the concepts of time are different due to the levels of gravity. And anyway, I don't want to ruin the movie for anybody. Go see it. It's a great movie. It is a little long, and I realized long movies do give me anxiety. I had this thing, and I never really knew where it was from, but if I know going into a movie that it's 2 hours and 50 minutes, by the time I sit in my seat, my popcorn, I'm having trouble breathing. I think it's because if the movie is not good to me, I'm not saying for the audience, if it's just not my thing, knowing I'm stuck there for 2 hours and 45 minutes in a bad movie gives me tons of anxiety. I only had to pee once during Interstellar. I held it in to the point of, like, I think I'm damaging my liver and kidneys.
Well, I just remember at one point you were like, I have to pee, but I don't want to get up yet. And then I forgot about you saying that. And then an hour and a half later, you're like, I got to go. And
it was
like,
that good.
Oh, my gosh.
I gave myself a bladder infection. We saw it at the Chinese theater, the Grauman's IMAX, which has been totally redone. They're showing it in 75 millimeters. So those of you listening to this podcast in L.A., if you haven't seen it, you have to go to the Grauman's Theater, 50 millimeter IMAX. You have to see it that way. And the good thing is, when you go to the bathroom there, you could actually still hear the movie from the bathroom. The way it is, I don't know if they did that on purpose or not. I swear to you, I'm in the bathroom peeing, and there's no speakers in there, but just acoustically, you could still sort of faintly hear what's going on, so I don't feel like I missed all that much.
Now, did you like Interstellar better than Gravity?
Yes, but I didn't have a great experience with Gravity.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen a 3D movie. Gravity was my first. We went to a theater at the Grove, which is not really a great 3D
theater. Yeah, I was
theater.
Disappointed with that theater.
And to me, 3D movies tend to always be a little bit darker, and like, not meaning like in tone. I mean in like actual, like the screen just seems darker to me. And I have such bad vision, and I don't wear contacts, so I have to wear my eyeglasses like under the 3D glasses. So I just feel like the whole thing is distorted. I personally despise 3D movies. I see the use for them. I
would have loved to watch Interstellar in 3D.
Not me.
Really,
it
cool.
was so awesome without 3D. You don't need it.
And that's a long movie.
We saw Gravity that way, and I think I enjoyed it still. I just think that my experience was not great.
What was your favorite part of the movie?
Of Interstellar?
Yeah.
You can't really. I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I don't want to like say what my favorite part is. Don't you think it's a little bit of a spoiler alert?
Well, you say spoiler alert before you talk about it.
Yeah, and then people are going to turn the podcast
off. Like the part with the big wave.
All right, no, stop!
Sorry.
Are you out of your mind?
I mean, I knew as soon as they landed on that planet that it was
going to be
a big wave.
Bree, okay. Stop it. What are you doing? It's horrible.
I thought we were going to talk about the movie.
That is disgusting behavior. You don't do that to people who haven't seen. You can't talk about the movie like that. What were you thinking? Moving on.
Oh my gosh.
I like the part with the wave. Are you serious?
Say it again.
Jeez. All right. Interstellar, everybody. Yeah. Something else we did. Do we want to talk about the Scream musical?
Yes.
Okay. And this we could give spoiler alerts too. So one of Bree's friends, who we've actually had on this podcast before, Sarah Huggins, who she has
her
own.
We had her brother on the podcast.
We had a brother. We had Joseph Huggins on the podcast as well. Sarah's been on too. She's crept in and given us some comments. She found this musical parody theater, a play sort of, musical dinner theater. It's a musical parody of the movie Scream. Now, I am a huge Scream fan. I saw Scream 10 times in the theaters when I was 16 years old. The movie absolutely terrified me, but also made me laugh. The opening of the movie with Drew Barrymore still is like one of the scarier scenes that I think you could really see. I don't know if it was inspired by, but it brought me back to what I think was the most scary original stuff with the phone in the movie. If anyone's ever seen the original When a Stranger Calls, that is the scariest shit you could ever see in your life, especially when you're a kid. But anyway, Scream, an unauthorized musical parody from the movie Scream. It's written and directed by Richard Register and Michael Gans. They're a duo that has killed it. Starring Sarah Hyland from Modern Family, yeah. Who, mm-hmm. Here's all I'll say. If you're
I had no idea she had that little voice in her.
It was at the Rockwell Theater in Silver Lake in L.A. The Rockwell Theater, beautiful place. It's like a restaurant that has like a nice little stage, enough room for a band. The food was good. The bar area is really cool. And then basically, it just, this thing starts and it just grabs you. It's all contemporary music, anything from Guns N' Roses to, what else were they playing? I mean, it's just all contemporary Boys to Men. Mm-hmm. And the voice is Sarah Hyland, little girl. She's not a little girl anymore. Little girl from Modern Family.
But like, it's crazy.
Broadway voice. Phenomenal Broadway, voice.
Everybody in the show. Like, everyone.
The whole show is beyond pro caliber voices. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big musical guy. Never really been to a musical. Like, I've never seen Chicago. I've never seen Moulin Rouge. It's just not my thing. This was absolutely hilarious. It was like a marvel of talent. Like, you watch it, and at the end, you're just kind of like, wow, those are all insanely talented people doing a really cool show. And it's a great different night out. For those of you in LA listening who are just sick of, like, oh, we go to a bar every night.
Did we ever find out who the girl with the long blonde hair is? That, like,
the one who played Gale Weathers? Who played, who'd she play?
She was just an all black. She was like
one of the singers in the background.
But she had her own solo. Remember, she had a lollipop during that song. What song?
They all have like Broadway. They all have Broadway experience. For those of you who want more information, literally, it's the unauthorized musical parody of Scream. It's at the Rockwell Theater. For fans of the movie, they literally reenact scenes from the movie and then somehow they transition them into a funny song. And the performances are great. And it's just a great different night out. Don't you agree, Brie?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And you can drink and eat while you do it.
It's just different. Like, if you're sick of, like, what do you want to do? It's Friday night. Oh, let's go to a bar, grab a drink. Okay, let's go to this. It's kind of like, it's just a good change of pace from the stuff that you kind of always do.
For sure.
Should we get into the questions?
Yeah.
Where are we at on time?
45 minutes in, baby.
I've been talking for 45 minutes.
Yep.
God, look how far we've come from the pilot. Yeah, we got to chop the original pilot episode of this podcast into like 10 parts because I was just running out of steam and I was ready to quit.
Well, he would start. I think it was like the first 10 minutes was the hardest to get through. We would start. We'd get like 3 or 4 minutes in and we'd have to turn it off. You'd be like, no, I didn't like that. But man, you haven't done that since we started. Hopefully I didn't just jinx it.
All right. I'm going to pull up some of these questions. Now, what I do is, and the handle is B4B Podcast. What I do is I just favorite the questions I like, then I go back into my favorites category, and then that's like just the easiest way to keep track. And then also, you should know that's how you know your question is into consideration. All right, is there any that you like that you want to add, that you want to read, or should I just launch into it?
Launch into it. I have a couple.
All right, let's find one. All right, well, first of all, I'm just going to answer this person because I think this person's being a smartass. I can't tell if they're really serious. This is Bo Abenoir. He goes by Unbelievable514. He says, what's your take on the 1994 Montreal Expos? Now, I don't really have a take on that. The reason why I'm reading that question is, in 1994, the Expos were the best team in the National League. The Yankees, who were not good back then, were the best team in the American League. It was Don Mattingly's only chance of the World Series. So I think the Yankees would have beaten the Expos in the World Series. Okay, Troy McCall, who I believe is a big part of our fantasy podcast at times, he writes in, he goes by T. McCall1, that's with two L's, says, if you could have played any other character on Entourage, who would it be and why? It's a good question. I've never really actually thought about that. I think like my initial instinct is to say E, only because I kind of just relate to him a little bit, but I've always looked at the Billy Walsh character who played the director, mm-hmm. played perfectly by Rhys Coiro. That would have been a fun character because it was written by Doug Allen as such like a volatile guy who could at any moment could laugh, cry, be violent, go do drugs, go drink, go get a gun. Like, he could just do anything at any time, and that just seemed really, really fun. So I would have to say, for now, Billy Walsh, but I don't know. Could have been E. Maybe it could have been Sloan. I don't know. Are you looking at questions? Do you have any that you want to read?
I liked, gotta find it. Well,
dead silence is always good for a podcast.
You know what? I'm not scared of silence.
On a podcast?
No, just a couple seconds to get your thoughts together. Our listeners right. need it.
Swaggy G goes by Cash_Out_G_Clark wants to know when the trailer for the Entourage movie is coming out. I don't know. That's actually a good question, and we're gonna have Doug on next week, and we'll hopefully have some more information on that. Drew, who is at Knowles_88, asks, do I have a dream role or director that I'd like to work with? Yes. No, okay, that's not going to answer the question. I obviously, as an Italian kid from New York, Martin Scorsese is a god where I'm from, so he's definitely atop my list, and obviously Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and guys like that. But after seeing Interstellar, Christopher Nolan is just absolutely on top of the list. A dream role, I guess, is any form of an athlete. Like, I'm working on this Arturo Gatti movie. We're hammering out the script, and we're talking with directors, and I'm training in boxing, you know, a couple of times a week, getting ready for that. So just the chance to play an athlete. I love sports so much and have no genetic physical advantages to have ever been a pro athlete. So playing one in the movie would have been definitely atop my list. Have you found your question yet, Bree?
Yeah. This is from our Facebook. Ryan Plotz. He actually has a couple good questions.
Oh, multiple questions. Multiple Let's go. Let's questions. Go. Come on. Let's get the energy up.
Take advantage of this.
Let's go.
What movie role do you wish you had gotten? Could be one you auditioned for or one you didn't. But I want to hear both.
Well, one I wish I...
off the top of your head.
One I wish, and this is going to kind of be like a piggyback off the question I just said, like, Rudy would have been awesome for me.
Okay.
Rudy would have been awesome. Obviously, like, Rocky would have been a dream role. I mean, am I being too generic? Are those two...
Yeah, something that, like, is in your realm that maybe you auditioned for, maybe you were considered for.
I mean, you know how it goes. You probably have a few of these yourself. Like, I've auditioned for so many things that I didn't get. It's hard to really remember how bad I wanted them or not.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of just put it past you.
There was a role... I think, if memory serves me correctly, I want to say I auditioned for Lone Survivor initially for Emile Hirsch's role, which I did not get, which I really, really wanted. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to get a role in that movie. Peter Berg, who is one of the directors I would have said I wish I could have worked with, and I've had the chance to twice now. Luckily, he's absolute genius. I love Pete Berg, and he's a big-time Giants fan. Then I think it went from Emile Hirsch's role to a role that later got Alexander Ludwig got cast in, which he was great. And then I kind of gotten, I guess not a consolation prize, but Pete just wanted me in the movie in some capacity. So he put me in. But that the Emile Hirsch role in Lone Survivor, I guess, would have been a dope one. Connelly has a great couple of these stories because Connelly like goes back. Like Connelly was in Rocky V.
Yeah.
Connelly auditioned for Rudy, I think. Like Connelly has like some of those cool audition stories. I don't really...
All right, well, he also asks, what do you wish you were good at but aren't?
You know, I asked this. My mind initially goes to, and especially after seeing this Scream musical, I think I have to say singing. I like asking people the question, would you rather be a world-class singer or a world-class dancer? Bree, I'm asking you right now.
A singer. I want to be a pop star. You know this.
I know that, Brie.
But I can't.
But
sing.
if you could pick one, like I'm at talking, all. If you like were schooled in close. All forms of dance, you can go hip hop dancing, you can go ballroom dancing, ballet, or just like you could just harmonize with anybody.
I mean, I want to just be able to. I just want to belt it out.
Me too.
If I can't sing, I'll get backup
dancers. I say singing because I feel like
I can't dance, I'll get backup dancers. You know?
I feel like. Singing is just something you could do anywhere for anyone, you know, like you could literally be in the middle of the street tap someone on the shoulder.
Dancing is so beautiful, but I guess like,
but you need an
audience. I was a dancer, so like maybe I'm taking that for granted. I don't know.
I don't know. Outside of like macking on girls in the club, I don't really see where dancing could benefit guys anyway.
Well, there's a lot of backup.
And
guys.
Do girls really associate good dancing from a guy with them? They automatically think that he's good at bed? Or is that like one of those myths?
Where'd you hear that from?
I feel like that's like a known myth. Like girls look at guys
because you know how to move your hips.
Yeah, that's sometimes I didn't make
those
this.
Hips don't quit,
Brie. I didn't make this. It's not hips don't quit. It's hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie.
I didn't make this up, by the way. It's just like a known thing.
All right. On to the next.
I'd rather be singing to answer that question.
On our Facebook, Greg and Chetta asked, "What's the song at the end of the podcast?" We've got a lot of people ask this. Someone who helps us with our sound, Miles. It's his band LPMD, and the song's called Backboards, and you can get it on iTunes. And they have a whole album, and it's great.
Yeah, no, they're great. I got a question from Samantha Boyd on Twitter, at SammySam31786. She said, "What is your weirdest fan encounter?" I'm reading this question because we're going to piggyback off of Ohio. When we were at the bar... watching the Cavs Knicks game. You know, there definitely was some Entourage fans in the house, which is always, look, it's awesome. I love it. Totally respectful people. There was one dude, maybe he was a little buzz. I actually have a photo of him on my Instagram, which maybe I'll repost if those of you want to see it, but you can see it on my Instagram, Jerry C. Ferrara. He kind of comes up to me, and maybe it's because I lost weight and I do look a little different from the show, or maybe just, I don't know. He comes up to me and he's like, "Huh, you know who you look like, right?" I'm like, and look, is it wrong that I like to have fun with people sometimes too? Is that so bad? Like, I wasn't being a dick, but I was like, no, who? He's like, "You look like the guy, you know, that guy from that show." I'm like, "A little more details, bud?" He's like, "Yeah, Entourage. You look like the guy from Entourage." I'm like, "Oh, I've never..."
But then he said your name, which you
appreciate.
Well,
I'm building. I'm telling the story. Don't jump ahead. So I immediately made that decision, like, "All right, I'm going to have some fun with this guy." So I'm like, "Oh, never seen the show, but I've actually gotten that before." He's like, are you messing with me or are you him?" I said, "I don't really know what you're talking about." I'm like, "What's the guy's name?" He's like, "Well, he plays Turtle. His name's Jerry Ferrara." So I'm like, in my mind, now he knows my real name. He's not even calling me Terrell. So I'm like, "All right, this guy is a fan of the show. You have to be if you know my real name." And I just like, "Nah, buddy, sorry, man, not me." But I do get that all the time. And he's just staring at me and he's like, "Ah," he's like, "it's crazy how much you look like him." I'm like, "Eh." Anyway, he goes back to his friends and he comes back 10 minutes later. He's like, "Are you sure you're not him?" And then I was like, "But what do I have to fucking lie to you for? It's not me. I'm not him. What do you want me to tell you? I look like him." And I Google. I said, "What's the guy's name again?" He's like, "Jerry Ferrara." So I Googled him. I Googled myself on my phone. And now we're both looking at pictures of me. And I'm like, "I don't see it." I'm like, "Nah, this dude's fat, buddy. This dude's like 200 pounds. He's like, "Yeah, nah, but I heard he lost weight." I'm like, sorry. I don't know what to help you. So finally he comes back over and he's like, you really not, you have to tell me if it's you or not. And then I finally cop to it and I say, "Yes, it's me. I'm sorry. I was having a good time." Then he doesn't believe me. And he's like, "No, it's not. No, you're not." Then he actually doesn't believe me. So now then I'm like, "All right, tough guy, come here." So I took a picture of him and I, cause he kept saying, "People tell me I look at Adam Levine all the time." I'm like, "Guy looks nothing like Adam Levine."
And you
Levine.
Were like, "Let's take a picture, Jerry and Adam."
Yeah, other than the fact that he had a beard, he looks nothing like Adam Levine. So I'm like, "Let's take a picture. I want to put it on my Instagram saying, oh, Jerry Ferrara and Adam Levine." And I take it and I put it on my Instagram and I at him. So he sees the mention on his phone and then he like looks and then he actually like gets to my page and sees that there's like, I guess I have what, like 270,000 or whatever followers. Like, "Oh my God, Jerry Ferrara just put our photo up, dude." I'm like, "Buddy, it's me." It never once did it occur to me to show the guy my license, but until the very end where I had to actually take out my license and show it to him. But I don't know. Was that story worth telling? That's a long story.
Yeah, no, it's a funny story.
Guys, it's just having some fun. Believe me, I'm very down to earth. I'm flattered that anybody even knows who I am, let alone watched Entourage and appreciated it. So I'm very flattered by all this. And he had a good sense of humor. He offered to buy me a couple of shots. I didn't do them. But yeah, any other, did you find anything else?
Well, I just like what this girl did. Veronica Han, she asked a question on Facebook that says, what is a show that you would like to see made into a movie? And if this question makes it into the podcast, can you give a shout out to my boyfriend, Dennis?
Well, shout outs to Dennis. What's her name again?
Veronica.
Veronica. What, last name?
Han.
Han. Veronica Han. Shout outs. By the way, I could listen to you read names you don't know all day long. We should get Charlie O'Connell to do this. I guess I would want, you know what? There's been rumors, and I know it's never going to happen. And obviously, there was rumors about a Sopranos TV show. Obviously, that can't happen now because we unfortunately lost James Gandolfini.
Sopranos
who
movie would be amazing, though.
Who was the best. Just that guy is the best character on television history, in my opinion. But David Chase hinted, I know it's just a rumor, this is never going to happen, but doing like a prequel. You know how they used to do flashbacks of Tony when he was a kid with his father,
mm-hmm.
of doing his father's storyline, like going way back to the 60s,
wow.
which would be beyond
they
dope.
They could do a whole show on that.
Easily. And if David Chase wanted to, I mean, it would probably be just as good as, if not better than the original Sopranos. I just don't know if David Chase wants to do it. David Chase, if you're listening, which you are not, do that, bro. And I'll play Tony Soprano's father.
Colin Lorwald from Facebook, I have no idea if I just said that name right, wants some dirt on you and Bree.
On me and who?
Bree.
You mean dirt.
He wants to know about our first date and something else that I'm not going to read.
Next question. Why would you read that?
You're not going to tell people about our first date?
No. No, that's too personal. Moving on.
It was at Hollywood Bowl.
Moving on.
Okay.
We went to a show at Hollywood Bowl. That's all we're going to say. How is that? Is that good enough?
It was a great show.
It was a great day. Yeah.
Actually, no, that wasn't our... Well, we can talk about the golfing date. That was before the Hollywood Bowl. And he had a bad showing, bad attitude. I almost did not give him the rose.
Oh, is that a bachelor? Yes. Is that a bachelor reference?
Yes, you almost did not get the rose.
Oh, bummer. All right. Is there anything else? Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle? Says
your nephew will like that one.
Michael at Mikey at Mike Rips, who has won our fantasy league or has come in like the top five. Look, I was a big fan of Ninja Turtles. Michelangelo was kind of my dude because he used to eat pizza and cool. As I go home now with my little nephew and I watch Ninja Turtles with him, it's so much different than the Ninja Turtles I used to watch. It's a little darker. They made Raphael, who used to kind of be like the muscle a little bit, was like he's just straight up got like anger management issues. Raphael's got issues. He's got tons of issues. Jake Benson at Jake Benson 90 writes, if you could rewrite the ending to one show or movie, which would you pick and why?
Ooh, great question.
I'm going to say The Sopranos. Now, I'm not one of those people, and no. Spoiler alerts for anyone who has not seen The Sopranos, beware. I have not, honestly, I don't have much issues with the ending of The Sopranos, really. I just wanted a little more, only because I'm just being selfish. I actually think it was a pretty good ending. You know, I enjoyed it. We're going to read another one from Samantha Boyd at SammySam31786. Do I have any tattoos? If not, do I plan on getting any? I don't have any tattoos, and I don't plan on getting any. Several reasons. I actually like tattoos a lot. I like tattoos on people. My brother has several tattoos. Some of my other cousins have several tattoos. Where I'm from in Brooklyn, like, getting a tattoo in your early teens is not unconventional. They're like, tattoo shops are very, very popular in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. One of my buddies had the whole Last Supper tattooed on his back. There's some pretty cool art piece tattoos. My Uncle Sal, who is the man who definitely helped raise me a little bit, who we will get on this podcast at one time because he's the most quotable guy I've ever had or seen in my life, is very anti-tattoos, and at a very young age was like, had like a, like, if you get a tattoo, I kill you sort of rule. I guess no one else really followed it. I was the only one who took him seriously. But his logic behind it made sense for all the wrong reasons. His logic was always, tattoos are the biggest form of identification. What do you always see in like police reports? Are they looking for a guy, 6'1", he has a tattoo of a red devil on his arm. So he's, I guess like his reasoning was interesting. He's basically telling me, if you're going to commit a crime, it's stupid to get tattoos. So what he really, I guess, should have said was don't commit a crime, even though he's a pretty straight guy. So he was always steering me down that road. But he always said tattoos are stupid because they're a huge form of identification. And then also, I just know I changed my mind so much. I would get a tattoo and then a year later, I'd probably get it removed because I'd be over it. So well, how do you feel about tattoos? How do you feel about a tattoo for you? And then how do you feel about tattoos on guys and girls?
You know, I've always wanted a tattoo, but and whenever I think of something that I want, I tell myself if I want it in 6 months from now, then I can get it. And usually by the third month, I don't want it.
I feel like there's some girls that are very suitable for tattoos.
Yeah.
And there's other girls that you look at that, like, why would you?
Some people know how to rock it. Other people.
I don't feel like you're a tattoo girl.
If I want to be a tattoo girl, I can rock a tattoo.
What would you get a tattoo of? A rose, a lily, a butterfly.
My cat. No, just kidding.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
Lord.
I don't know what I would get. That's why I don't have one. So.
I was just about to say something. Oh, was it my grandfather? I don't know. Some older adult in my family always said, don't trust a woman with tattoos or girls named after flowers. So I guess that's Lily, Daisy,
Violet,
Rose, Violet, Chrysanthemum.
Sunflower.
Any other question? I think that's it. Should we wrap up and go eat?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to remind you guys again. You could just search on iTunes or Stitcher, Bad for Sports, or just search my name, Jerry Ferrara, and you could find our other channel completely separate from this Bad for Business podcast. So we're not going to muddy up sports. It's called Bad for Sports, separate channel. So if you're looking for our fantasy podcast or our other sports related stuff, go there. Thanks to Dollar Shave Club. Again, support the podcast, dollarshaveclub.com.
Keep sharing Bad for Business.
/B4B.
Spread it around to your people.
Keep spreading the word. Yes, that is me on Facebook. I am now accepting everyone's friend request on Facebook. I've accepted like 2,000 people this month. I go by Jerry Ferrara. It used to be something weird. I ignored Facebook for like 5 years. Because I just didn't trust it.
And
now I'm back.
We have a Facebook page for Bad for Business.
We have a Facebook page also as well. We're going to be communicating with you as well through all of that. And next week, Doug Ellen episode, hopefully. We're going to maybe take some calls this Friday or next week. And then we'll also discuss my birthday's coming up. 24
dun, dun,
years
dun.
Old. I know. I can't believe I'm turning 24.
24 plus.
No, I'm turning 35. I feel...
I just had to do math there first.
I feel great about turning 35. I have some plans for my birthday, but I assure you I am not going to be like most 21-year-old girls where I'm going to have a birthday week. So we'll get a lot on my take on birthdays and what I'm going to do for my birthday next week. Bree, anything else?
Good job.
God, there's sometimes I go to you for support and help on wrapping up a segment or a topic or a show or furthering or moving it along.
I have
and
severe ADD.
You just got nothing.
Babe, come on now. Be nice to me. You've been picking on me the whole podcast.
You know what?
Don't
just
make
for that,
me hash it out
you're not
you
getting you're not getting your selfie stick.
I love how this was supposed to be Jerry by himself. My selfie stick. I don't want a selfie stick.
If anyone should have a selfie stick, it should be you.
This was supposed to be Jerry's solo podcast, but you go to me the whole time. I think this should be Jerry and Bree's podcast now.
When are you going to host your own?
It's coming. It's coming. I have ideas.
All right, so maybe next week you just host your own. You know what I want for my birthday? I want a week off. You host a podcast.
Okay.
And you know what? I'll do a sports one only, and we'll put it on the new sports channel where I'm going to talk about how shitty my Knicks are at 2-6, how terrible my Giants are at 3-6, and how my world is imploding. And then you could just go do the Bad for Business podcast on your own. What are you going to talk about?
You're not allowed to know. It's a surprise. Because you might veto it before I talk about it.
That's what I mean. Are you going to like consult with me for ideas?
Nope.
You're not. But I'm just saying, you're not even going to ask me now, a veteran of podcasting, my ideas or my thoughts on
it. A veteran? You're not much more of a veteran.
I'm like 20 episodes in, dude. All right.
Let's go.
Let's wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for all the Twitter support. It's really, really cool to interact with you. We're going to keep that going. And like my... What?
Nothing.
You just did something weird with your hands as I was about to wrap up.
I know, I was cheering for you.
Oh, you just raised the roof?
Yes.
For the record, I was about to go with our out, our signature out, and Bree just decided to raise the roof. All right, I'm raising the roof while I say this. And, like my mom always says,
bad for business was good for business tonight.
See you soon, and raise the roof.
When you see me rolling by, you know that I'll be high. I'm smoking on that Buddha, Buddha.
For business.